T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rebe.
Let's go, let's get it on! Oh, Peters!
Oh, we've got a big Thornton and Rebe are exchanging punches.
And everybody pairing up at center, and now Peters starts teeing off on Emery.
The captain strikes gold!
And now, the Instigators.
Yeah, you hear that right. Oh, yes, I love this song. I don't even know if it's a song. The Saber Dance. Game day, buddy.
Yep.
Game day, and you know what? It's actually funny. It's the first time we've done this show where a game has been very important. So I thought, you know what? You got to bring out a little luck. I'm serious. We talked about it yesterday. 2-1.
Officially on fire.
It's not on fire. It's just a chance to head out west.
Yep.
Up 3-1 with the in the standings. 3 wins, 1
How
loss.
How important is this game?
Well, that's why I broke out the old tune. I brought it up because I feel like tonight's game is very important, and you're not even focusing on that. You're all in on math over there. And for those of you listening, Andrew Peters, that's Craig Rive. He's at Craig Rive 52 on Twitter. I'm at Beside Craig, and the show is at The Instigators on WGR 550 and MSG. This has been an amazing morning for me because Riv has been absolutely racking his brain with mathematics.
Yeah, I have a headache already. It's only been doing it for
5 minutes.
I have
a headache watching you doing this math. It's absolutely amazing. And he's gone over so many different equations as he's trying to figure out how many goals per year or how many goals if Ovi had 350-goal seasons left in him and it plays until 40 or 41, could he beat Gretzky's goal record? JJ threw that in the buy-sell trade today. But, I mean, you've been racking your brain.
But we're talking, about breaking a Gretzky record. How often does that come up?
It doesn't.
Name me the last time we've talked about breaking a Gretzky record. And there
isn't
in
this
all
the
reality,
greatest Gretzky record? Like, wouldn't you say that's the... Everybody knows who the leading goal scorer of all time is.
Yes.
Playoff points all time.
Yep.
It's scoring kind of like... titles, all of it.
I look at the goal scoring record to something like in the Olympics. Like, do you really care about the 400? Do you care about the 1,500? No, you care about the 100. You want to see the fastest man in the world. That's kind of like the goal-scoring record, right? And Ovi, when we were discussing it this morning, I believe that this man has an opportunity. Right now, he is currently at 611 goals. Gretzky scored 894 goals in his career, which...
A difference of
238.
200 and what?
283, sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what I thought.
So if I add in another 46 goals to Ovi's 4 that he has already and just make it a 50-goal season, that brings it down to 237 goals after this season that he needs to try and break. So if you take 6 years, 6 more years, which will basically take Ovi till he's 39, he has to score basically 40 goals a year for the next 6 years to break Gretzky's record. But if you add in another year and take him to he's 40, so 7 more years, that drops to 34 goals a year. But yet what you have to do is not say, well, he has to score 34 goals a year for the next 7 years, because we all know that Ovechkin is going to put up maybe a couple more 50-goal years, which is going to drop the back end totals to less.
It'll be close.
It
and
is going
I
to
don't,
be
I
really
don't know.
Close.
I have mixed emotions. I don't know that I want him to do it.
What this comes
do
down
to.
Do
we want him to do it?
Yes,
we,
absolutely.
We're going to talk about the game tonight.
I absolutely
this was just,
want him to
Ribs
do it.
Is doing math. So, I mean, we have to discuss that first. That's the breaking news.
Yeah.
The Sabres host the Avalanche. Sabres game night at 6:30 on MSG. Marty Biron going to join us from the morning skate update at 10:30. So check that out. But listen, there's a lot of I guess it's fitting that they're playing Colorado tonight, and for a number of reasons. Number one, you know, we'll talk about, you know, Jack and Nate MacKinnon yep. and what Nate MacKinnon had to do to get his team in the playoffs last year. But they got to the playoffs after having a dead last season the year before.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of what I'm not predicting will happen, but I'm hoping could magically happen. And that's why I think I say
there's
that,
hope, right?
Well,
there's been a
lot
teams
more hope
like
now than there ever has been, and that's just with the because of the personnel that's on the squad and your goaltending, and you have a generational defenseman that, you know, I think will help this team in the future for sure.
Yeah, I mean the way I look at this is there is hope for our team that we can have a successful season in the sense that when you look at, you know, the Colorado Avalanche for an example was dead last in the league in 2016-17, the next year they made the playoffs. They only had 48 points that year. They had like abysmal season, but they turned things around with what they had there. You look at the New Jersey Devils. The New Jersey Devils were fourth worst in the National Hockey League. They turned things around in 1 year. You know, you go back a year from there and you have the Toronto Maple Leafs. Dead last in the league, and they turned around. And you look at what they've done in the last couple of years; they've done very well for themselves. And I look at the Buffalo Sabres, that are a team that still has a lot of maturing and a growing to do. But you definitely as a fan out there see some great signs of development and this team moving forward. And right now, I don't think there's a person in the hockey world that can tell you and kind of predict where they think the Buffalo Sabres are going to end up.
Well, I'll tell you what, their odds become greater if they win tonight. I know small odds, but
yes.
Still. And, you know, you sit there and you talk about getting a good start and a fast start. And we've looked at this road trip early on in the season, five-game road trip coming up. They have Arizona, they have Vegas, they have L.A., San Jose, and Anaheim. I think in that order, but if not in that order, you know, forgive me. But like, that's a tough road trip. You can head into Arizona, who had a big win last night against Anaheim, and be, you know, have a record of 3-1,
yep.
And a confidence, right? A confidence to your team. You beat a good team in Colorado. You beat Las Vegas. And I know Las Vegas also lost, I think last night they lost 5-2 to Washington.
Yep.
But I guess my point is that your mindset's different. You roll into these rinks thinking, let's try to not get blown out and maybe try to squeak one out, to all of a sudden saying, hey, we need to win this game to continue, you know, building off what we've started here. And that's why you talk about a fast start. I'm going to throw the Boston game home opener away. I think we agreed on that yesterday. You just chalk that up.
Yeah.
Do a lot of new players.
Just like Boston
did.
Much
higher expectations and a lot of nerves.
Yep. Just like Boston did in their first game. How about the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, they also faced a Boston team that had no choice but to wake up and come out and play the next day.
But
because
Boston
they got slacked by Washington.
Everyone knows Boston's a pretty pretty mature hockey team. They've got a lot of veteran players that have won Stanley Cups. They know that they just walked into that dressing room after getting spanked 7-0, that they just crumpled up that game. Let's not talk about it because that's not our team identity. Throw it away and let's worry about the Sabres tomorrow. They came out and they played a damn near perfect game against the Sabres, where it was the Sabres' first game. They looked a little bit unorganized, a little bit, you know, slow. But that was probably a lot of that had to do with nerves. The last two games that we've seen from the Sabres, that puts a big smile on everybody's face because we see a lot of great things from players that you now start to feel that there's something here. We have something here. We do have that speed up front. We have a strong defense core that are really doing a great job defending and moving the puck. Our goaltending right now is without question the number one thing that he's giving us a chance to win hockey games. And when you have goaltenders that are going to give your team a chance to win, this is a very good feeling, and it builds that confidence.
I'll tell you this. I was telling the guys a story about, and I'm not going to tell the story about a team I played on back in the day where we had a good start and we didn't win another game for 46 games. But when we didn't, man, we were terrible. But we got off to a good start. We were like 2-1-1, and then we finished the season 3-48-1. You figure out what that year was. I had a great year. But my point is that you get to see yourself when you're not expected to be in a certain spot. You get to see yourself above some of the teams. Are they going to stay above Tampa Bay? Probably not. Will they stay above Boston? If Boston loses tonight and the Sabres win, and I'm not scoreboard watching, but these young players, these guys, that could, they can be in unfamiliar territory.
Yep.
You know, and I know it's only four games into the season, but I think it would be nice for them to be able to look at the board in the room.
It's or a
the
new season though, right? It's a new season. It's a fresh start. This is not the same Buffalo Sabres team as what we've seen in the past.
Colorado, everybody thought it was going to drop off, and they made the playoffs.
That's right. But my first and foremost, it's a new season. Don't worry about what happened last year. Don't worry about what happened 3 years ago. There's a lot of new faces on this team. There's a new environment. The coaching staff has had an opportunity to start to build the culture in which they want to see. This is a new team. They're fun to watch. And guess what? We've got a long way to go. As much as we've had two games, we've won two games. A lot of people that I've talked to, I've had so many people come up to me and say, this is amazing. We're a way different team. And I just tell every single one of those people, pump the brakes, enjoy the wins when we get them.
But wait, but what did they just say? What was the key? They're a what? They're a way different team?
They're a way different team.
They didn't.
But I just don't. I don't want to have grandiose expectations for a very young team. Our leader on this team is only 22 years old, and Jack Eichel. Sam Reinhardt's a very young player. Like Ristolainen, who feels like he's been in the league for 15 years, is a very young player. There is a lot of youth on this team that is going to get better. Casey Mittelstadt, I've talked about him. He has not played bad by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a young player that's getting his feet wet and learning and trying to figure out the little things in his game and in the NHL game that he needs to improve to have more success. And you can just go down the line, but this is a really nice start for our team. This game here tonight is a game that I wouldn't say is a must win. I don't think that you go into your fourth game of the year and say this is a must win, but it's a very important game where each and every guy on this team needs to be on the right page, because you have a very explosive offense in Nate McKinnon and Mika Rantanen and Langeskog and, you know, Tyson Barry on the back end. You talk about an offensive defenseman, 57 points he had last year, 57 points in 68 games. He was on pace for 70.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, and I say that because I know what you're saying. I absolutely agree. They're four games in. I do feel like this is in a way a must win, and I don't mean must win as like the players should be nervous, but think about this: the home record. Yeah. You get off to you start your season at home, four games. If you can walk out of there with three wins,
that's absolutely unbelievable.
That's establishing a confidence at home.
And don't you think that every one of those players in the room understands this? They understand what they're walking in. They're walking into the lion's den in a couple days from now. So this game here tonight, you can't look at the lion's den. You've got to look at this game here tonight. The effort needs to be put in, because you need to win your games at home. The Sabres last year struggled immensely at home.
And if we want this team to be the Colorado Avalanche from last year that went from you know, well, how do you want to say it? You know, the outhouse to the penthouse. I mean, you know, let's be honest. I mean, you need to win this game. You need to win this game. You need to know that when you come back from the road trip, that, hey, you're in a place where you've had success. It's not like, okay, now we have to start winning at home. You've already won at home. You might. Who knows how you come back?
Do you remember when you were playing?
Happened
many, many times throughout my career over the years. Is we would go into certain cities, okay, and we would play in a city Let's just say, for an example, the Dallas Stars. Dallas Stars, you kind of, you remember you had all the stats and everything. It had individual player stats. It had power play. It had every type of stat you can think of.
I miss those stats.
I love those stats. And I knew every one of the stats. I made it my job to understand every single team, every single player. But the one thing that I looked at is you always wanted to look at how was the home record for that team at that was playing at home. And we would walk into certain environments, certain teams, where you'd look down in a 41-game schedule at home. You're looking, and it's they're like 22-5. And you're sitting there thinking to yourself, this is an outstanding team at home. And you have that feeling of, oh, this is going to be a long night because these guys are unbelievable at home. That plays into a factor. And on vice versa, you're looking at a team that's 5-22 at home. Then now all of a sudden you're starting to lick your lips and saying, okay, this is a winnable game. We got to be sharp and ready and let's go. So this plays a factor. You need to be good at home. You need to not want people to come into your building going, this is going to be an easy 2 points. You want people to feel uncomfortable when you come into this building. And they've got to earn that. They've got to earn the respect. They've got to build that. Last year they struggled immensely. A lot of teams walked in saying, this is perfect. We're playing the Sabres tonight. Well, that can no longer happen. The game, the mindset has to change for the opponents that's coming into your building, and you need to make it a nightmare to play here.
Sabres host the Avalanche tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop. Sabre game night is at 6:30 on MSG. I'm Andrew, he's Craig, WGR 550 and MSG, the Instigator. So with the Avalanche in town, you know, they had one of the most unbelievable turnarounds in a season that we've seen in a lot of years. But they also had guys performing, okay? Like, they had Rantanen, they have Landeskog. But Nate MacKinnon took his game to another level. I feel like if the Sabres are going to be the Colorado Avalanche, or just that team that goes from worst to the playoffs, or just even driving for a wild card 2 spot, you need Jack to have a, I don't know, do you say breakout year? I say breakout year.
Well, let me ask you this.
Because Nate MacKinnon exploded.
Have you ever seen Nate MacKinnon's statistics?
Yes, I know Nate MacKinnon's statistics.
So when you look at Nate MacKinnon, first year in the league, 24 goals. Next year's 14 goals. Next year's 21 goals. Next year's 16 goals. Then all of a sudden he breaks out and has a 39-goal season with 97 points.
Yeah, he exploded, no question.
It was a massive, massive breakout year. But we talked about this a couple months back. We talked about, I think The Athletic is the one that brought it out, that five things you need to have success, okay? And they talked about you need to have, number one was a great center. Number two was a game breaker. Number three was an offensive defenseman. Number four was a veteran playoff performers. Guys that have been in the playoffs, been there before, know what it takes. And then the fifth thing was size. Size, I think, is skewed a little bit because you can have big, big guys that play like cupcakes, or you can have smaller guys that are so tenacious and hard on the puck. I don't think it's about size. I think it's about the way that you play. Okay? So when you look at the Colorado, great center. Is it a check mark? Yes, Nate MacKinnon. Well, so does Buffalo Sabres. They have their guy in Jack Eichel. Game breakers, Nate MacKinnon, Tyson Barry, Mika Rantanen. You look at the Sabres, we have guys moving into that category. Jeff Skinner, Jack Eichel. Offensive defenseman. Tyson Barry last year had an outstanding season, only played 68 games. And had 57 points. That's a guy that is a power play guy.
Those are Norris numbers. If he's playing 82 games, he's in the Norris discussion.
He's in a 70-point range, or high 60s. I think that we have that on our team. I don't think it's developed yet. And we talk about, yes, Rasmus Ristolainen is, he's had three years of 40-plus point seasons. Can Ristolainen move himself to another category of being a 50-point guy? we look at Rasmus Dahlin. Rasmus Dahlin is going to be a point producer in this league. There is no question with the skill level, skating ability, and his hockey IQ, what's between his ears, he's going to be there. But
how
he needs seasoning.
How are teams preparing for him?
I don't think they're preparing for him. I really don't.
I don't mean necessarily. Okay. There has to be some kind of a pre-scout on this kid. I mean, let's be realistic. When you're talking about a talent of his, you know, his level, you don't want to be the team that he breaks out against.
Yes.
You don't want to be the team that he goes end-to-end to get that highlight reel goal against. There's got to be some sort of a watch out for this kid.
It's very simple. If I was the coach on the other side, I would be wanting to try and get my matchups, my best players against Rasmus Dahlin.
Okay, go on. Why?
Because he's 18 years old. He's physically, mentally still trying to figure out the pace of the game, this and that. He's an outstanding defenseman. Don't get me wrong. He is incredible. His skating, his puck movement, everything that he does is extremely advanced for his age group. But the reality is he is now in a situation where he's playing against men. He's playing against the best players in the world. He's not playing against Sweden on an Olympic size ice, which is like playing on a massive, massive ice rink. Where he has more time and space, he has less time and space. Things have to be done much quicker because guys are faster, bigger, than stronger than he's ever played before. And I would want to test him. I would want to take my best players on my team, and I would want to test an 18-year-old defenseman. That's what I would want to do.
Luxury of being at home tonight.
The luxury of being at home is hopefully he's not on the ice against Nate McKinnon, Rantanen, and Langeskog.
He can hold his own against
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you right now, he's shown me at this point no reason to worry about his defensive side of the game. But as a coach, I'm going to want to get my guys on against this 18-year-old because we've got guys that are seasoned veteran hockey players. Nate McKinnon, Langeskog, they've played Rantanen. They've played against the best defenders, the best players on every other team but if I had a chance to get my top line on against Rasmus Dahlin because of the youth factor, then I would try to do that.
What would it take for this year's Sabres to be last year's Avs? That's our conversation right now. And who are the key pieces beyond Jack? Who else this year needs to absolutely take off? I mean, they had Rantanen last year kind of exploded.
It has to be a collective group of taking off. We're talking about taking off. We're talking about just upping expectations for each and every player. Sam Reinhart scored 50 points last year. Now, if he would have played a full season of his last 40 games, then he'd be a 70-plus point player. That's what we want from Sam Reinhart. Be that 65, 70-point player. Jeff Skinner, are you a 24-goal scorer last year, or are you a 37-goal scorer 2 years ago? What player are you? We need the Jeff Skinner that's going to score us 35 to 40 goals. We need him to be great for our hockey team. And you can just keep going down the line. Kalaposo had an off season for the first time in his career. He had 15 goals and 44 points. Well, can we get Kalaposo back to 60, 65 points? If we do that, I can guarantee you this team is going to have a chance to make the playoffs without question. But we need them to be great. Okay, we need those guys to be great. We need Ristolainen and Scandella. When you're playing on that ice and you're playing that 25 minutes a night, we need you to be the best defense pairing on the ice, shutting down the other team's big line. These are all things. We need great goaltending. You've seen what happened when we get elite goaltending. Carter Hutton has played very, very well for this hockey team. If we can continue to get that type of goaltending from our goaltenders, then we are going to have a chance to win a lot of games this year. But it's a collective group. It's not just Jack going from.
It starts there.
It's.
I mean, let's be honest.
It starts there without question.
If McKinnon's engine isn't pumping the way it was last year, that team
totally agree.
Doesn't even. No one's giving that team any love. If he's Nate McKinnon, and Nate McKinnon is a phenomenal hockey player. Yeah. Even before last season, if he had 70 points last year, 75 points, I still would have said he's a phenomenal hockey player. But the point is, if he's only at 70 points, or because he missed some games, he would have been a 100-point guy. You know, there's no question.
He only played 74 games last year.
And he had 97 points.
Yeah,
he was absolutely going to be one more game. He could have been a 100-point
guy.
No
question.
So, you know, if he's not doing what he's doing, Rantanen's not doing what he's doing, and other guys aren't. I mean, it's just that's that. So it starts with Jack. I mean, and
I'll
and,
tell you right now, this guy here, this is the key. When you're playing in games like this, the best players, you have to take away time and space. Our defense is going to have their hands full with this man because he's a big, he's powerful, and he's extremely quick. And
he's unpredictable too. I mean,
what sucks about being a defenseman, okay, about playing against guys like Nate MacKinnon, the only way to really truly defend this guy properly is to really have great gap and be right in his face so he can't make the moves. But the problem with doing that is our defensemen have to feel confident that they can stand up, knowing that if they do get beat, who's going to be there? The forwards that back check, you better be coming back, because if you want our defensemen to feel comfortable about staying up on this guy, then our defensemen need to see those forwards coming back, and they'll do their job standing up on him. But if we give time and space to Nate MacKinnon, he's gonna hurt us. There's no question.
So I'll say this, I'll stick to it. It does 100% start with Jack Eichel and his. You know, the first game, like I said to you about the everyone else, him included, throw that away. But the last couple games, just a different player and the different team around him. When you see your star going, I mean, that power play goal the other night, that was huge. That's huge for the team. That's huge for the morale. You know, you had the empty netter the other night, you know, his other goal. You know, I mean, that's your superstar being a superstar in the last couple games. And now you see what he can do and you want him to maintain that level. And that's why I say tonight's game is huge. It's huge for him. It's huge for the team. It does. It all starts with Jack.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't disagree with that, but
you got to find a way to get Jeff Skinner going. You know, I mean, I'm not like, no one's hitting the panic button on him, but I worry about the player. I worry about, you know, like, when does the player start to creep into his head? Because how many times have you played with guys that get off to slow starts or even fast starts? And now you got to find, you're watching these guys, how they're trying to maintain the level or try to get out of where they're at and get to a different level. We just got to find a way to get him going. And in my honest opinion, he just needs to break the ice with one.
I think the season is so early. I understand what you're saying. Players that do come to a team, they want to get off on the right foot. I can say that. Do I think that there's more that Jeff Skinner can give? Yeah. You know what? He is a pretty upper echelon player in the National Hockey League. We need him to use his speed and his playmaking ability. He's a tough, hard nose to the net guy.
He's been good. He's had chances. He's had chances.
If you don't get chances, I think you're more concerned with that. But he's had chances. He just haven't been able to bury yet. But you know what? If we can get him going, I mean, that just trickles right down the team. So.
Trickling down the team, we're going to get to Marty Biron. He's on the bench for the morning skate update. So that's coming up next here on the Instigators. We'll be right back. WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG Sabres host the Avs tonight. And pregame show 6:30, WGR 550 MSG. We'll be right back.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All righty, morning skate update with Marty Biron. Marty is down on the benches. Andrew Craig, ready to grill him with some of the tough questions that a guy like Marty needs to hear on a game day. Marty, are you there?
Yes, I am there, PD. I am there. I hear you clear.
All right, good to know, Marty. Any line changes? First of all, lift up the shirt. Let's see the belt. Is it white? Someone tweeted us on Twitter. You went with
No, that was yesterday.
I know it was yesterday, but the I white wanted to belt see on. If you it just was continue to use the white belt. October.
No. It was 80 degrees outside. It was beautiful. I was still golfing weather. I went to see my niece play. My nieces, one is on Niagara, one's on Canisius. They played against each other, soccer, women's soccer, so college soccer. So I went to see them, and I was looking the part.
Yeah, so someone pointed out, they said white belt alert on Twitter. Anyway, Marty, what's going on? Give us an alert. Any lineup changes?
Yes, one lineup change right now. It looks like Johan Larsson is going to go in the place of Remy Elie on the third line with Casey Mittelstadt and Tage Thompson, that is. But everybody's here on the ice this morning. So you've got Zach Bogosian on the ice. You got Vladimir Zaboka on the ice, which is really nice to see. Those guys, I think, itching to get back in the lineup. Maybe even more Zabolka. I think Zabolka is probably the closer of the two to the return. But the fact that Zach Bogosian has taken full practice now, he started yesterday, full participant in practice. So that's a good sign for him to return in the next few games here.
No chance we see him tonight, though.
I don't think so. I think when they went through their D pairing, the regular six right now, Risto and Scandella were one, McCabe and Dallin were one, and then Nelson and Beaulieu were the other pair. So I would think that will stay that way, especially the fact that, you know, they've won two games. You don't usually change a winning lineup unless you have somebody that you... is a factor in that main lineup. Like, obviously, Johan Larson coming back, I think, was to be expected. I think Remy Ely, Casey Middlestad, and Tage Thompson struggled a little bit against Vegas. They were relegated to fourth line minutes. I'm not going to say they were the fourth line, but they only played around 9-10 minutes apiece, so that's more like fourth line minutes. So with Larson ready to go, I think you put him in there, and it's a natural fit.
Yeah, you make a good point there. Marty Biron joining us, morning skate update down at the rink. Sabres host the Avalanche. Game night, Sabres game night, 6:30 on MSG with Marty and Duffer. You mentioned the D and Bogosian, and I asked if he would go back in. Yesterday, Ribs made a point. Even if you're winning, there still might be a guy that might not be playing well, but he said he wouldn't take anybody out of this lineup right now for anyone.
Well, I think that the only one you could take out right now would be taking out Casey Nelson, right? Because I think Bogosian and Nathan Beaulieu were scheduled to be a pair the way they looked they were together last year in training camp. And again, this year in training camp, they played well together. But I think Casey Nelson's been really good. Casey is not a flashy guy. He's not going to wow you with his play in the offensive zone, but defensively... he's simple, makes one good pass, blocks a few shots here and there, plays the man. So that's the type of play you expect from your sixth defenseman. So there's no reason to get him out right now, unless something happens or Zach has really been waiting 100% for a while where you got to get him in the game.
Well, it's gonna be an interesting move there because, you know, I think, like you said, Marty, the defense core as a whole in the last two games have played exceptionally well. They've been very poised. They moved the puck very well. You know, it's going to be tough to take one of those guys out of the lineup if they continue to win, especially if they continue to have success, let's say, tonight against Colorado. It's tough to change a lineup when things are going well.
Yeah, no, you're right, Revs. It's tough to change a lineup. It's tough to big changes. Obviously, you saw after the first game, there was changes that were made in the third period where Skinner came off of Jack's line, Connor Sherry went up there, and it's worked well. So now you've got a couple of wins, and you're not going to change much unless it's minor adjustments. You look at the power play, where in the past we've seen, you know, a player being moved from power play number one to power play number two, but now the Sabres power play is one of the hottest thing in the National Hockey League right now. So especially with Jack's unit, so you're not changing anything there either. Bogosian could be a power play guy maybe on the second power play when he comes back. But as it is right now, I think you're just keeping the things all the same.
That voice is Marty Biron. He does the morning skate update on game days here on the Instigators. We're on WGR 550 and MSG. Sabres game night at 6:30 on MSG. They host the Avalanche. Marty, how important is this game to you?
For me?
Not for your performance, but for their performance. You know what I mean?
Well, for me and Duffer, we really got to be on top of our game with Razor in the pregame now. We really have to focus on what we're going to say. But no, this is a really big game because it's very rare that you start the season with four straight home games. And you can really set the tone. You're already starting to look at the standings and being like, oh, this team is 1-2. You know, Arizona hadn't scored a goal. They finally get a shootout win last night. But still, you're looking around the league right now. Who's struggling? Who's got the advantage? Who seems like they're flying? And the Sabres have got an advantage because they had four straight home games before going on the road. So if you can start the season 3-1, before, going on the road for five games, I mean, that's a huge advantage to keep that buzz going, right? I mean, the fans were so happy and excited, and it was such a fun game against the Vegas Golden Knights that, you know, that, again, is creating that buzz in October. And I believe that finishing off with Colorado, number one, would show that the guys have that mentality, that they understand the situation, they understand the importance of the game, and that they know that they found a recipe for success. So
if you beat Colorado tonight,
we haven't said that about.
If you beat Colorado tonight at home, Marty, and that gives you a frame of mind heading into Arizona to start that Western road trip off on the right foot. Arizona is a very beatable team.
You know what, PD? I did not hear a thing that you said, not because I have my two Stanley Cup rings plugged in my ear, as Patrick Roy said, but they are playing. They're doing a little two-on-one drill here in the morning skate, and they basically said, okay, as soon as you guys score three goals, the drill is over. And on my right there, on your left, Carter Hutton was completely beat out of his position, and Zach Bogosian came from behind and basically picked the puck up on the goal line where everybody thought the drill was over. Phil Housley is like laughing and yelling, go again, go again, go again, because that puck never crossed the line. So so the drill is still going on right now because Zach Bogosian made probably his best save of the year so far.
Get him in the lineup.
Yeah, get him in.
Well, I don't know about that, but I have no idea what you asked because literally I could not hear you. But if you
matter.
Want to ask that question again.
No, I don't. It was a reporter question. Marty, we asked JR yesterday, would you rather score 50 goals or have 100 assists?
Well, how many points do I get? Like, that would be a difference.
If you get 50 goals, you only get 50. If you get 100 assists, you only get 100 in one season.
100 assists. 100 assists. That you know, I mean,
well,
100
boy,
assists means
boy
my
Connor
team has
Sheary,
scored 100 goals.
From what I see here on the TV, just scored the third and final goal, top shelf. So he's staying hot. I like it.
Let me, you know what, though? I'm going to give credit to Carter Hutton, who I realized that drill was never end. And he kind of just played the shooter on that one. The pass was made, and there was a wide open net. So there's a veteran goaltender that realized we could be here until noon if they kept this up. So I'm
like
giving my goalie some props.
It's like the old bag skate. Someone set the pace.
That's right.
You know, this guy gets a feel for the drill, and then he realizes we got to shut this thing down.
Yeah, and you always ask the slowest guy, which you kind of don't say it, but you know it.
You're going to go first. You take the lead on this one.
Hey, Marty, let me ask you, though, what did you guys say, 50 goals or 100 assists? Well, I'm interested to know.
I'm going to ask Riv that question after the next break, but I wanted to ask you and get your opinion on it because Jeremy Roenick said 50. He said he'd take 50 over 100 assists.
Yeah, JR was a goal scorer, right? And he's flashy, and, you know, you score 50, you get probably a lot more mics and cameras wanting to talk to you that if you have 100 assists. But I just think, like, 100 assists, how cool would that be to say I've hit the 100 assists mark? That would be fantastic.
100 points, too. Like, how about that one? I mean, so what you're saying, Marty, is you want to be the quiet, humble guy in the back. You want to set everybody up and just be the guy that, you know, not all the glory.
Petey, how about this one? I'll have 100 assists. You and Rivs both have 50 goals each. I'm just the lead passer there.
That's some good math, Marty. That's some very good math. I can't wait to hear what Riv has to say. Marty Biron, Morning Skate Update. Sabres host the Avalanche tonight. Sabres game night at 6:30 with Marty and Duffer on MSG. So what's your big note of the game, Marty?
My big note of the game, like, what am I looking forward to the game tonight?
Yeah.
You know what? Obviously, that big line, like, we talked about the top lines in the National Hockey League. Matthews with Toronto, even Tavares Marner, maybe. We talked about the Bergeron line. We can talk about so many lines, but this MacKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen line, man, they are quick, they're fast. They lost to Columbus the other night. But still, I don't know if you saw the MacKinnon goal where he cut to the middle and he took that high glove shot over Bobrovsky's shoulder. That Nathan MacKinnon is one guy to watch in tonight's game. And that line, I would think, by the way Phil Housley's been going, Jack Eichel's line is going to be going toe-to-toe against Nathan MacKinnon, so that will be a big, big matchup to watch in the contest tonight.
And you know what, Marty? What I had brought up on the show talking about Nate MacKinnon before, it's not two defensemen covering Nate MacKinnon and taking his time and space away. It's got to be all five guys. When Nate MacKinnon, the goal that you're talking about the other night, Nate MacKinnon came down the left-hand side, and what did he do with the puck, Marty?
Oh, he curled to the middle.
He curled to the middle. So what I'm asking you is, why is that guy that's taking the time, cutting to the middle of the ice, why does he still have the ability to shoot that puck? That's what
I was just going to say,
Ribs. That back check pressure from the forwards is going to be more important than the actual defenseman playing them in front. They've got to track back on this guy and take away his space.
I was just going to say the neutral zone is going to be so important because the Sabres have done a great job of pursuing pucks in the offensive zone and getting them on the forecheck and creating turnovers. Well, if you don't get that first guy and that pass is made to Landeskog or MacKinnon in the neutral zone, you better hope that you got some back pressure through the neutral zone because they can hurt you when they get on the rush, that team.
All right, Marty.
Can I throw a statistic out for you? How many players actually in the National Hockey League have scored 100 assists in one season?
Machio?
Do you know how many times it's been done?
Yeah,
Marty?
I would say. Well, Gretzky's done it. Yeah. Lemieux's probably done it.
Negative.
Mario hasn't done it.
Oh yes,
Lemieux's
he has
never
done
it. How about?
Yes, he did it once.
Okay. How about Adam Oates?
Ooh, I'll go look him up.
No, Adam Oates' best year was 97 assists.
Joe Thornton?
97 assists too, right?
96 assists, which I played on that. Okay. I didn't play with them that year. So
are we just talking Gretzky, Lemieux?
Almost
the reality is
almost.
There's 13 times it's happened where a person has had 100 assists.
And Gretzky is how many of those?
Gretzky has had 11 of those. Mary Lemieux did it once, and Bobby Orr did it once.
Oh, yeah, Bobby Orr.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah, Bobby Orr.
All right. Okay,
so
Marty.
You're telling me it's rare to get 100 assists. It's better than 50 goals.
Absolutely.
All right, Marty.
Okay, I like it.
Thanks for your time today.
Hey, see you in studio tomorrow, boys.
Thanks for the warning. Marty Biron, Morning Skate Update. You can catch Marty and Duffer tonight, Sabres game night at 6:30. They host the Avalanche at 7, and we'll be right back. I'm going to ask Old Man River here, 50 goals or 100 assists? Would he want to be in that rare club? How many guys have scored 50? Hundreds. Not hundreds. A lot. A lot more than guys that have had 100 assists. We'll be right back. Find out what Old Man River has to say. Tweet River, too, at Craig Rivet 52. Let him know what your thoughts are. 50 goals or 100 assists? We'll be right back, Instigators.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rivet.
Welcome back. It's 10:52.
52. 10:52:52.
So I'm bringing us back here. We are the Instigators, Andrew Peter, Craig Rivet. I don't even know where we were going. We were talking about what we would rather have. A 50-goal season or a 100-assist season. And I came up with the statistic that there's only three guys in NHL history that have scored 100 assists in a season, that being Wayne Gretzky, who has 11 seasons, Mario Lemieux had one, and Bobby Orr had one. And I asked Andrew...
Think about this for 1 second. 11 seasons for Gretzky with 100 or more assists. That's 1,100 points just in assists.
Just in assists. It's completely insane when you think about what he did throughout his career. But talking about goals, would you rather have a 50-goal season? Because Jeremy Roenick the other day, when we asked him...
Kind of slapped us in the face a little bit too, didn't he?
Yeah, he kicked us when we were down. Talked about, you know, he scored more goals in 2 weeks than we did in both of our careers put together, which, you know, thanks a lot, JR. But listen, how many people scored 50 goals in the NHL?
Well, I just looked at... I just looked up, and and it doesn't have them numerically, so I couldn't. I wasn't going to count
some of
them.
Those guys are repeat guys, right? There's hundreds
but
of people that have scored.
There's over
100
for sure. So I mean, the assist club would be much more exclusive.
Absolutely,
no one ever gives any credit. 100 assists. We don't even have. We had four guys that had 100 points last year. We went years where we didn't even have a 100-point guy.
Yeah.
And we're talking about 100 assists. Three players have had it.
I'm going with the 100 assists. How about Bobby Orr having 100 assists?
By the way, I find it hard to believe that J.R. scored 54 goals in 2 weeks. But I'm just saying. Yeah, you had 50.
What? Next week, we're going to have him on. Let's write that down.
I'm going to write that down.
Because I'm going to forget it. You know that. So let's write
it
down.
I'm actually
going to throw it back
in his
face.
Like, you know what? I find it hard to. Marty's going to be interviewing Zemgus probably around 11:15-ish. 11:30, so stick around to hear that. So what would you do, 50 goals or 100 assists?
I think 100 assists. The way I look at it is goals are kind of like a me stat, and assists are something where you're helping someone else. You're helping someone else have success, and I've always been about just...
Are you giving me assists are just as good as goals talk right now? Are you giving me that one?
Well,
are you having a rough season? You have no goals, but you have a lot of assists, and you're frustrated that you're not putting the puck in the net, and someone's got to say, hey, you know, assists are just as good as goals. It's okay, Craig.
Goals are not on the same page. We all know that. The goal scorer that gets the goals, you know, how many times have you coached a hockey or this and that, and you have one kid that ends the game with two or three goals, and everybody looks at the stat sheet and says, wow, that kid had a really good game. But meanwhile, his centerman or the defenseman or whatever is the one that did all the work, and this kid tapped the pucks in the net. But it makes it look like he had a great game because he had goals. Well, goals, that's my biggest thing, is you want players that make everybody around you better. That's the player that you want, because anybody can score goals and tap them in.
This guy writes in, 50 goals by far, you can get assists from being on the bench. Man's got a point.
Would you rather
get 300 PIMs? 300. You know what, Chris, who tweets that? Shame on you.
Yeah. If you're talking to,
you know how hard it is to get 300 PIMs in any league?
It's not that hard.
You've done it?
No, but.
Okay. I had 388. I led the American League in 02-03. And that is a very, 01-02. And it is very, very
hard.
Let
me ask
you this.
I
mixed in a bunch of
10s,
but I had about 30 majors.
Do you think it's harder to score 50, harder to get 100 assists, or harder to get 300? If you had an opportunity, here's the thing. You could take any Tom, Dick, and Harry off the street, he can get 300 PIMs.
Yeah.
Because he could go out there, fight, get beat up.
No, I wasn't.
Wrestle with the sucker punch the guy so he gets another 10 minutes misconduct.
He's not.
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah, what? Yes, I get what you're saying. Congrats on winning an easy argument. All right, when we come back, more Instigators right here on WGR 550 and MSG. A little more from the game tonight. We're going to go around the NHL, and Martin Biron is going to be talking to Zemgus Girgensons. I hope we can understand both of them in this interview. We'll be right back. What?
You know, it'd be a good one if you were to ask how hard would it get 50 fights in the NHL?
You can take any Tom, Dick, or Harry, just send them out on the ice.
Well, here's the thing. Fights. If you're fighting 50 times in the NHL, I don't think you're able to do it.
I think the record
is 39.
It's 39 by Paul Laus.
Okay.
I think.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now that I don't think you can get 50. Because I don't think your body would withstand the beating.
Okay. Whatever you say, Craig. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.